the Spirit, and I thank you for joining me this wonderful Tuesday. You know, this message that I'm bringing is the guarantee. If we live that kind of life, it's the guarantee for our entrance into glory. Because the Lord said, by their fruit you'll know them, you know, not by their gifts. So, what was he talking about? He was talking about the fruit of the Spirit, mentioned in Galatians 5. So, when you look for that in people, then you know there are brothers and sisters. So, do you remember what I said yesterday about how the Bible begins and closes with fruit? Jesus declared in John 15:5 that he wants us to bear fruit. If we abide in him, we will bear fruit. He's the vine, we're the branches. So Lord, I again ask you to speak to us, to enlighten our hearts. Let us see your word today in a clear way, in Jesus' wonderful name. God's people said, amen, amen. Well, thank you for joining me. Yesterday I kind of read your names, and because now I have a lot to do, because I got to finish the teaching today. So I'll do that tomorrow. And tomorrow my wife will be with me. You're going to love what we're going to do together. Anyways, how do I get fruit in my life? Well, number one, Psalm 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. Blessed is the man who will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who brings his fruit in his season. So when I read that amazing portion, I see two things. Number one, I cannot have fruit if the world is in my life or around my life. And number two, I cannot have fruit without the word of God in my heart. So then we saw Psalm 92:13-14. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. So, and then it says that they will bear fruit in verse 14, which I showed you yesterday. So I cannot have fruit in my life if I neglect the house of the Lord and I'm not in fellowship with the believers. And you can't do this today online. You have to find a good church. I know it was tough during COVID, and maybe it's tough in some places still. But it's imperative we get together with the believers, because that strengthens us and keeps us fruitful for the Lord. So the identity of the fruit really is in the vine, meaning it's the fruit of Jesus. So when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, he's the vine, we're the branches, remember? And the Father is the husbandman who keeps the garden clean and puts us through trials and tribulation to prune us. So, we have to cooperate with God. We cannot just receive without cooperation. In Luke, let's look at Luke 13, very important portion of the Word of God. Luke chapter 13, and I'm going to read verse 6. Okay, it says this. He spake also a parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then he said to the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this tree, on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? He answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. If it bear fruit, well. If it doesn't, then cut it off. There's tremendous revelation in here. Number one, that God Almighty gives us time to produce fruit. So he works with us, and he wants us to work with him. So here this parable of this fig tree, 4 years, and it was going to be cut off. Could it be? Could it be, I'm not saying it is, but could it be that 4 years is the limit even for us if we're not living a Christian life? That 4 years later we may be cut off? I'm not saying that is true. But how interesting this parable says, for 3 years it wasn't bearing anything. He said, give it one more year, maybe it'll change. So I think we need to understand that God, even though is patient, there's a limit to the time. Because it says in Proverbs 29, if a man keeps hardening his neck, he'll be cut off without remedy. And this is high time now to live for the Lord. So Galatians 5:22 and so on, it says the fruit of the Spirit is, let's go to it again please, because even though I'm sure you were with me yesterday and saw it, it's good to look at what are the things God is looking for in my life and your life that will guarantee the kingdom. The fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against there's no law. Against such there's no law. So that guarantees me entrance into heaven. I discussed love yesterday. Love is given to us by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. It leads us into the fullness of the Lord, Ephesians 3:18-19. So how do I get love? Abiding in the Lord Jesus, who is love. Number two, joy. Well, joy gives us strength. Nehemiah 8, the Bible talks about the joy of the Lord is my strength in verse 10. And joy is when I'm walking and living my salvation. Because it says in Isaiah 12:3, with joy shall you draw waters out of the well of salvation. In that day you'll say, praise the Lord. So, if you lost that joy, well, just pray like David did in Psalm 51:12. Restore to me, Lord, the joy of your salvation. And that comes from the Lord, from his word, because the Lord said in John 15:11, these things I've spoken to you, that your joy might remain. Now, let's go to peace. Peace that's costing the world billions, and they can't find true peace, is given by the Lord Jesus, John 14:27. My peace I give unto you. So, what must I do to have it? Justification. When I'm living the life of faith, and I'm justified by faith, is in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified, we have peace with God. And the Bible talks about, in Philippians 4:7, this peace that passeth all understanding. And so what do? I live the Christian life, and I make sure the word of God is filling me. Great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing will offend them. Psalm 119, verse 165. Now, I stopped with long-suffering yesterday. And this fruit is directed towards others. It's love on trial. That's what long-suffering is. It's selfishness conquered. So, the Lord defined it when he said, forgive 70 times 7. Well, I can't forgive 70 times 7 if someone does me wrong, but God gives me that grace in my life. And so it says in Colossians 1:11, I'm to have long suffering. In Colossians 3:13, the same thing. So, now, gentleness. What is gentleness? Well, When we have gentleness, we have a touch of healing on our lives. We're always healing our enemies. So, not only to be long-suffering, but to approach people that are vicious to us with a gentle touch of healing, with the love of Jesus. So, the Bible talks about gentleness in 1 Thessalonians. And what a beautiful description here Paul gives us in 1 Thessalonians 2:7. And so here's what it says. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. And that's the way we are to be with each other. Do you remember what the Lord said in Matthew 10:16? harmless as doves. Wow. Harmless as doves. Gentleness in us. Now, how do I produce it? I produce it by living by faith. Just living by faith. The psalmist said in Psalm 18, and you know, it's being connected to the Lord. Every time you see any of these, the fruit of the Spirit, it's amazing what we see. Thou hast also given me, Psalm 18, 35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. It's his gentleness in us at work. It's not our gentleness. But I have to live by faith. If I'm not living by faith, it's not going to work. You know, living by faith connects me to the Lord. Let me just show you something that is so precious. Would you mind getting me 2 Samuel? Oh, there I got it. Okay. It's not clicking. 2 Samuel 22:36, please. You know, my eyes are not what they used to be, you know. So I really need like large print, but it's easier for me to use. Okay. 2 Samuel 22. I want to show you something really beautiful. Anyway, so sometimes this thing gets stuck, it just won't move. Anyways. Okay. And again, thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy gentleness has made me great. Mentioned twice in the Word, in 2 Samuel and in the Psalms. And to emphasize from the Holy Spirit that only through the Lord can we have that kind of life. Now, let's talk about goodness. Goodness. Goodness is love in its noblest behavior in society. Goodness. Love in its noblest behavior. It is holiness put to practice. That's what goodness is. And I want to read Romans 15. There's a lot of scriptures about this. I'm going to only give you just a few of them. And I myself also am persuaded. This is Romans 15:14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. So, goodness comes when we get full to overflowing with the Word. When the Word takes hold of our hearts and begins to overflow, it just goodness comes out of us. How amazing, Jesus said in Luke 6:27, do good to them that hate you. How can I do good to them who hate me? Because the fruit of goodness is in my life. Holiness in practice. Love in its noblest. And it comes through the Word. Because the Bible says so clearly, only the Word of God that fills us with God's knowledge. And you know, when we fill our hearts with the Word of God, and the Bible tells us, in Galatians, let's look at Galatians again. Galatians chapter 6. And I'm going to look at verse 10 with you. So beautiful, really. Paul the Apostle says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, even unbelievers, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So, when we don't show goodness, we sin. It says so in James, you know, James 4:17. There's so much in the Word of God about this. Oh, that's so precious. All right. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we have to do good. How? Be connected to the Lord. And then finally, faith. Well, it's three more. Faith. Faith is a fruit. It's not just a gift. Remember the measure of faith. There are three realms of faith. There's the measure of faith that comes at salvation. There is the fruit of faith, which is born out of that faith, because it grows, fruit grows. Then there's the gift of faith. I'm not talking about the gift or the measure. I'm talking about the fruit of faith. So Galatians 5:6, this fruit is imparted and produced by love towards the Lord. So when I love the Lord, it starts to increase. So it's so precious. In Romans 5:2, it says, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, the gift of faith can move mountains. The fruit of God, the fruit of faith, moves God himself. I'm going to repeat. The gift of faith can move mountains, but the fruit of faith moves the Lord himself. So it's possible to have the gift of faith and miss heaven. It says so in 1 Corinthians 13:2. If I have the gift of faith, can move mountains, and I don't have love, it means nothing. So it's impossible to have this fruit and miss heaven, because it's dependent on love. It says faith that works by love in the Bible. So back to everything that I'm showing you, it goes right back to Psalm 1, verse 1, 2, 3, Psalm 92. Okay? So we get away from the world, we love the Word, and we love the church. Meekness. Meekness is true slave-like submission to the Lord. It is that submissive spirit that is free from rebellion and pride. That's what meekness is. Meekness is total deliverance from self. Meekness is love refined. Love refined. Love at its best. Meekness, most refined. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:4, I'm sure you know this beautiful scripture, but let's look at it one more time. 1 Peter 3:4. Okay. So here's what it says. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So a meek spirit in the sight of the Lord, great price. What does it say about meekness? Well, don't you remember? Psalm 25:9, the meek will he guide with judgment. The meek God will guide with judgment or justice. Number two, Psalm 37:11. The meek shall inherit the earth. And Jesus repeated that in the Beatitudes. And number three, Psalm 149:4. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Think about what God has to say about meekness. Number one, Psalm 25:9. The meek will he guide with judgment. Number two, Psalm 37:11. The meek will inherit the earth. Number three, Psalm 149:4. He will beautify the meek with salvation. So meekness is not weakness. Remember, when you look at the Lord Jesus, you see what? The lion and the lamb. The lion and the lamb. So we are to have that side in us. The righteous are as bold as a lion, you know. But then Jesus said, be harmless as doves. So that is meekness. all given by the Holy Spirit. We cannot produce it mentally. We cannot produce it by fasting, begging. We produce it by connecting, by getting one with the Lord, abiding in Him. Because He said, if you abide in Me, you'll bear fruit, in John 15. Finally, the last fruit, temperance, self-control. Wow. That's control over the whole man. Imagine being able to control your spirit, your soul, and your body. Now, how do I get temperance? All right, let's look at it. Very, very important answer. Very important answer. I'm going to read, first of all, 1 Corinthians 9:25, and then I'm going to read 2 Peter 1:4. Very important. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown." So it's self-control. And self-control comes only by the Lord Jesus. And it comes, and you know, here it says you can't win without it. You can't win the Christian life without it. Because it says everyone who strives for the mastery must be temperate, must have self-control. And then 2 Peter, you know, some of you need to teach this. I gave you all the scriptures. I didn't read all of them, but I gave them to you. And you can rewatch this and write the verses down and share it with your Bible study group. Whereby, this is 2 Peter 1, verse 4 through 7. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance. Wow, here it is. To temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love, charity. For if these things be in you and about, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what is the headline here? Well, the headline is, I know who I am in Jesus. According as His divine power. Let me read verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. So when you know who you are in Him and you walk in that, you'll have temperance. Precious Lord, I ministered the word. I pray that they will see it, receive it, and especially live it. That not one that's listening to me today on social media, no, Lord, not one, is going to miss living this kind of life, this kind of love. In Jesus' name, Lord, give us all your power to live. And Holy Spirit, enable all of us to abide in Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the rest of our lives and forever. In Jesus' name. And Lord, meet every need, whether it be physical today, whether it be spiritual or emotional or financial. You know the prayer request, Lord, right now. Touch your people and meet their need for your glory. We agree. Amen, amen. All right, you can give to the Lord's work today. So the promise is there. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase. So the Lord will fill your barns with plenty. Your presses will burst out. So a righteous life produces prosperity. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:6, in the house of the righteous is treasure. And as we are faithful, we will prosper. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man will abound with blessings. Someone who's faithful. So prosperity is not an accident. Prosperity comes as you and I apply in our life God's laws of abundance. So it's not luck. It's not luck. It's simply obedience. So in Proverbs 11, 24, 25, we are told these words, and I'm going to read it, pray, and I really believe your season is glorious. God is going to bless your finance in a mighty way. It's His word. So Proverbs 11, 24, it says this. Great verse. There is that scatters and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is necessary, or he's holding back his money, but it ends up in poverty. The liberal soul, one who gives, shall be made fat. The word here is prosper. And he that waters will be watered also himself. So, don't let conditions rule you. No, no, no. You are the ruler of those conditions. And when you sow seed, you trigger the harvest. So, are you in crisis? You can sow yourself out of crisis. The Bible says it very clearly in the Psalms. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed will doubtless come again rejoicing, bring his sheaves, his harvest with him. So Lord, bless them. Come on, let's agree. Lord, bless them, prosper them, increase them as they sow that seed, Lord, that the blessings begin in Jesus' name and never end for your glory. Amen. All right, the blessings will never end when you're a sower. All right, you can give to Benny Hinn Ministries right now. Right there on the platform you're watching me on. You can go to BennyHinn.org or you can text BHM45777. Do it now and watch what God will do with you, especially those who have problems right now financially. It's going to break through. You're going to have liberty, I promise you. God never, never, never fails us. Friday is Good Friday. And we have a service at 5 p.m. East Coast. So be with me. It's going to be on all the platforms and social media. Much love. Shalom.